Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we've warned you.
Hey, welcome to Night of the Living Podcast. We're body swapping all month long. Swapping bodies.
Mm-hmm. Switch it up.
Mm-hmm. I'm Freddie. Amy's here.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly.
Yeah.
Hi. And Andy. To round out.
I hope this is my body.
It's your body, yada, yada.
I hope
body,
so, too.
Body.
Yeah, who knows? I'm swapping so much.
Go ahead and check for titties.
Check for titties.
Give them a squeeze.
Oh, your little sister walked in.
Check for dong.
Welcome to the show.
Hell yeah.
Hi.
Hey.
So we're going to be talking about your name. Not your name, but your name
here.
Period. And we'll be roulette. Kelly will be reviewing anything for Jackson. Is that right?
Anything.
Yes. I had a nightmare because of this movie. This was a good movie.
Nice.
Oh my gosh.
I like having nightmares sometimes.
What?
Well, I don't like it at the time, but it is quite the accolade for a movie.
Yeah. When you're like, when you can process it later and you can laugh because it was so intensely scary while you were having it. And then the next morning you're telling somebody like, but then you got to understand that everybody's penises just fell off and rolled down the drain.
Yeah.
And they all looked at me like I was supposed to fix it.
And is that a nightmare, though? That seems more comical than scary.
It's in the moment. Blood spewing out of their fucking crotches everywhere, and you're covered in it, and there's just all these like disembodied penises rolling through the down the floor to the big drain hole, splashing into the darkness.
Oh my god!
That's right.
I had that nightmare a long time ago about Superman mowing down a bunch of children with a lawnmower.
I remember that.
Killing them, and I was trying to run. So that's, you know, it's silly.
He literally mowed them down.
Yeah. Literally.
That was amazing. So we have a mailing list, and we have like an actual big old limit now that we can fill up. So if you've been trying to sign up for our mailing list and you previously could not do that, you can.
Because you know that's like what people are trying to do right now.
You know, like they're just like,
it's
like
trying to get rejected. I need more email.
It's like trying to get an Xbox Series X or a PS5. Getting onto our mailing list is right up there. Kids love being on a podcast mailing list this Christmas. It's this year's Tickle Me Elmo.
If you go to notlp.com and look for the Dracula icon stamp.
It's a Dracula stamp.
I sent an email today and it had a super cool GIF in it. And I encourage everybody to look forward to more GIFs.
GIF it up.
Mostly Star Trek related, just because they make me laugh. Swear Trek. If you don't follow them on Twitter, what are you even doing with your life?
That's right. Here's what's in your, like, besides getting an awesome newsletter created by Amy, there's, you're like, what's in it for me besides that? That should be enough, but there's more. There's more. Every theme that we do, the final main attraction, we let one of you pick it. We select you randomly from our list of subscribers, and I'm gonna do that right now. Number 63 on the list is Scott Fogel.
Scott Fogel.
Local Fogel. He's our local Fogel.
He lives down the street, actually.
That's so true.
They're just picking their friends. No, we became friends with Scott because he listened to the show.
Exactly.
So there, so shut up.
We don't need to email him. Just shut off the window and say, Scott, what's your movie?
And some rando named Scott's like, what? And I'm like, no, Local Fogel.
Local Fogel.
So Scott, you get to pick locally our last sourced body swap.
As known.
I could just text him. I don't know. I'm in the habit of sending an email.
So just so you know, the rules are that it has to fit the theme, body swapping. Mm-hmm. It has to be something easily found. Do not make me go to a flea market to find VHSs.
Yeah, I won't do that. I'll just make up what I think the movie's about. Exactly. If that's the case.
We've gotten a little fast and loose with the horror needs this month. So,
well, we've kind of branched out. Sci-fi, fantasy also.
Sure.
Are fine.
Just whatever you think will work. If it's a Hallmark Christmas romance movie.
Yeah, and I can say
I'm fine with that.
Just the fact that there is a body swap in this theme, that makes it either fantasy or science fiction. Yeah. Right then.
Exactly.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
So pretty much any body swap movie.
But you can't pick Freaky, and you can't pick your name.
But you can but pick you your can friend's pick name.
Who knows?
Ah, Kelly, I was thinking the same thing.
I know. I kind of figured you were heading that way. I wasn't trying to take it from you. I just...
He could smell it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can smell my thing.
Like a shark.
Mm-hmm. We just got...
You smell it?
Yeah. Smell that?
Yeah, what?
Is that what the Rock's cooking?
Yeah, it's sharks. We just got done recording our Origins intro for episode 123, and you're like, but it's supposed to be 122. We explained that. Mm-hmm. So if you're a patron, you get access to the Origins episodes where we go back in time.
You know how we feel about time travel.
Yeah.
We like to experiment with it.
Sure.
And keep you on your toes.
Give you a modern on your time toes. We give you a modern day introduction to antebellum episode.
Yeah, we bring Night of the Living Podcast into the modern day, mm-hmm. so you can see what it would be like with modern technology and modern cultural views. We bring it out from the dawn of history where it lies now, covered in the dust of eons.
We put Technicolor on it so we can see it.
The funk of 40,000 years.
At least 40,000.
And then
consult with Vincent Price's ghost to make sure, but yes.
If you're also a patron, you get access to, Topicana.
Mm.
Our new
just recorded.
Our new midweek fun time, which is also only available to patrons. If you would like to support the show in a monetary fashion, go to patreon.com/NOTLP.
If you can't, there's another way you can help us. If you go to podchaser.com/NOTLP and leave us a review there. Ideally, 5 stars would be nice. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice,
do either. That's okay. Just keep listening, but it would be cool if you could.
Or tell
It'd
a
be cooler if you did.
It'd be a lot cooler.
Nope, they're gonna stop listening right after this. After this show,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, nope, you should.
I'm done.
Live your life, not ours. is that all the
news that's fit to print?
Did you guys have a good week?
Did we? Yes. Not really. I've had a lot of death around me lately, and it's a bummer. Why did I answer your question honestly?
I don't know.
It was great, man. I made some tasty.
We're friends. You should be honest.
I made some tasty latkes.
No reason to lie.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? It's relatable.
It's true. Everybody's dealing with something.
Yeah. There's death all around us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I barely remember my week.
Yeah.
What? I looked up and all of a sudden, oh my God, we're like almost halfway through December.
It's insane.
And I haven't bought one motherfucking present.
And I feel bad too because I know I'm going to have to buy a lot of presents online because I wait to the last minute. And I hate to put a strain on the already overextended post office and Amazon workers, but that's me. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll tell you right now, and for anybody in my life, I think it's okay in this year of our devil 2020 that if your Christmas present's fucking late, you deal with it. It's fine. Yes. Who cares? That just extends your Christmas season if that's what you're into.
Yeah, and just be nice to the delivery people and the postal workers. They're under a lot of stress right now, so just be nice in general, but especially to, you know, those people. Because I was at the post office, and there's this dumb bitch ahead of me. She was asking about these goddamn stamps for this baby shower she's throwing.
At the post office.
Yeah, and this dumb lady was like, oh, do you have anything girly? So she held up the line because they had to go through every type of stamp they had. The poor postal office worker, he was like going through everything and said, there's nothing really like kitty like. And he was like, we have Sesame Street ones because that's the closest thing to a kid stamp. And she was like, ew, no. Oh, like, what?
All right. To start,
you have such strong feelings about Sesame Street.
Negative ones, too.
Why are you throwing a fucking baby shower right now? Think about that.
Yeah. Well, that. And then she was like, well, they're going to have a girl. So do you have anything like girly?
How do you know it's going to be a girl?
This is how I feel about this. And this is in or out of.
Uh-oh.
Kelly.
We lost him.
Is he completely gone?
Yeah. Well, no,
he got too riled up over at the post office.
The computer's like, I'm going to go ahead and freeze up real quick, let you get through your point, and then you can rethink
people
it.
Hold up a fucking line like that. To ask any questions. And I know.
No, no, no. Go back a little bit because we lost you for a little bit.
I was going to say, I cannot stand people who hold up a line asking their inane, detailed nonsense questions, and I know that in their head they think they're very IDWIW, and that's not what that means, because shut up with those questions, like Google it. Don't stand there and have post. That's not their job. That is not their job to help you pick out party stamps or whatever it is that lady is doing.
It's a fucking stamp.
Yeah. If you have to match your fucking stamp to what is contained in it, you are a waste of humanity. Move on and go cure cancer or try.
But here's where the story gets even worse, because she was like, do you have anything pink or purple? And the guy's like, we have these purple heart stamps.
I love it. I think he was shading her a little, and I love it.
She was like, well, I guess I'll just take those. As opposed to Sesame Street, she would rather have a stamp honoring wounded soldiers, because it's a heart and it's purple and it fits the girly theme, as opposed to a Sesame Street stamp, which actually fits better because it's for fucking children.
This whole story infuriates me.
Here's what I want. I want this. I want that child to be born and grow up to be transgender, and to hate pink, to vomit at the sight of pink or purple.
It is purple.
To tell that woman every day of its life, this child, that it hates her.
That's a strong reaction.
That is a strong reaction.
She chose the right stamps, so that child's going to come out girly as fuck.
I have a similar but less intense hope. It's not a hope. It's a wish. I wish that could happen over again. And I'm sorry, Andy, that you would have to experience part of it over.
go back in time again.
Yeah. And you'd have to stand in line and listen to part of that. You'd have to listen to her ask the first thing. But then what I want is for the postal worker to just look at her quietly for a second and go, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Do you want Elvis stamps or do you want Princess Diana stamps?
Ma'am, it's a pandemic. The longer you are here, the more chance that you have to kill me or somebody I love. Get the fuck out of here.
When yours is even more reasonable. I just want them
to not get the stamps they want,
to just look at her and not give her the extremely unreasonable thing she's asking for. Some of you may think this isn't unreasonable, and that's their job. It's not their job.
Not right now. Not right now.
Never. Well, it is never.
I don't disagree with you, but certainly
never their job.
Right now in this world we live in, and there's a fucking line. Get the goddamn hell out of here.
All right. Yeah.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah. Sorry to rile everybody up over stamps.
No, it's good. I haven't gotten angry in a while.
Do you think that her name was Jackson?
Anything for Jackson.
Oh. She thought they should do anything for it.
I'll tell you.
She saw the title of the movie, like, oh, that's my movie.
Yeah.
It's for me.
Mm-hmm. I was going to use that as a super cool.
Make a bunch of changes to it.
Super cool segue. Like,
I can relate.
All right, let's hit it. I want to talk about this movie. It was good.
All right.
Okay.
Amy, did you have something else?
I just wanted to tell the listeners that I was enjoying the Saved by the Bell remake, but I don't have to.
Yeah, we can take a second for that.
I think it's fun. If you're watching it, let me know.
It started off kind of terrible, and this is, I looked at Amy and I said, it started off terrible, and then you're like, is this what the show is?
What?
But it's not.
Terrible.
like it started off like super corny. It felt like it was like you were back in the 90s, Saved by the Bell.
Oh, like the original.
Yeah, is what it kind of, the tone of it, which is, you're like, whoa, they did not update this, and this is really bad. But I was like, the only way this will save itself, I said, is if when the governor, Zach Morris, shuts down the funding for the other public schools or whatever it is, and they have to shut them down, that the kids from the inner city schools come to Bayside. And that's exactly what they did. So I was like, that was like, okay, now I can understand what I'm looking at. This is meta parody of itself.
Who's the principal of Bayside now? Is it one of the original cast?
No,
it's John Michael Higgins. He was fantastic.
Yeah, it's really, and it's funny. It has some really great moments.
He's the new building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Odin still alive?
Yes.
Hmm. Yeah.
They named a building after him.
Is he on the show?
The building?
He's not on the show so far. I've only seen like 4 or 5.
Yeah. There's only 10 of them altogether.
We've only, Jesse is the guidance counselor and Slater is the football coach.
Does she have an addiction to meth or anything like that?
No,
but they do a funny thing where they have a seminar that she's doing, and the name of the seminar was, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared of something.
I can't remember,
but it was really funny.
Good for them.
Yeah, like it's almost, they could lean in more on the absurd stuff.
Yeah,
it's almost like AP Bio. If they would just lean in completely, I think they could get up to like that level of funny. But there's good jokes, but there's not a lot of jokes.
Right.
Anyway, I wanted to end on I didn't want to end on me hating this random woman and hoping that one day she dies.
And just to be clear, Amy's not rescinding that. She just doesn't want to end on that before the next segment.
Oh, no. Stamp bitch can die in a fire. Stamp bitch.
Thank you, Andy. You should release a song.
Stamp bitch.
You should release a hardcore hip-hop song. Hardcore hip-hop.
Stamp bitch.
Stamp bitch.
All right, we can move on now.
That's so freaking great, Amy.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
My name is Audrey, and this is my husband, Henry. We don't want to hurt you or your baby. We feel this would be the best way for you to go missing.
DeWalt, morning. Here to clean your drive.
No, everything's okay.
Thank you so much for the book.
Hail Satan.
So you've seen some ghosts, huh?
No one has more time than a grieving family.
We can do this.
He's coming back to us.
Hey! trick or treat.
Spooky.
What would you do?
Oh, friends and family, let me tell you something. This movie was outstanding. This, like, we already want to watch this again. It has really rocketed the top of my list. It was scary. It was scary as fuck for me. Now, if you watch and you're like,
Andy, you're muted.
That was not scary. Well, fuck you. It was.
thank you.
See, this is what that story has got me. I'm just like, I'm combative now.
You are, man.
I'm thinking about those fucking stamps.
Your blood is up.
I'm totally excited. I feel like I need to move this right up to the top of my
head. Yeah, that trailer looked amazing.
It is, and it doesn't give much away, which is great. Because this is a movie you really want to be surprised by. Going into this, when you, and I'm not going to give hardly anything away. I might even still give too much away in trying not to give much away, but, I want to talk about it a little bit. So I'm going to be very careful with my wording. But when you first read me the synopsis last week, like I had a conversation a while ago with one of our listeners, Justin Doc D, if you're listening, buddy, what's up? Love it. And now he has been disappointed with Shudder originals and exclusives, but I've really enjoyed them.
Yeah, I disagree with you, sir.
But he's he made,
we can, it's, we're point, allowed, this is a thing where
it was good, it's just a matter of preference. But this has continued for me, like, and they haven't all been great, but by and large I feel like the Shudder exclusives and originals have been a step above other streaming services horror movies. Mm-hmm. So I was not super excited about this. This isn't giving anything away. The idea is that these old people want to do a reverse exorcism on a pregnant woman to put their grandson, who has passed away, into her new baby. I mean, that's what the synopsis says, so I'm not spoiling anything. And so I was just like, that sounds okay. It might be spooky-ish. This movie starts off immediately. You get thrown right into it. The scary shit starts pretty much right away. And all of the actors in this movie are like killing it. They're crushing it. The performances are so good. The main couple who play Audrey and Henry Walsh, they are the aforementioned grandparents. They have great faces. That's what Elise watched this with me. That was kind of one of her comments. And I agree. They feel really real. This movie is kind of what it does is, and there is humor in it. Like another great thing about this, and by the way, this is not, when I say humor, this is not a horror comedy by any stretch. There is kind of some moments where you're going to chuckle because it's almost silly, but it's not. And the humor comes from the fact that this is basically about regular people trying to accomplish something with the occult, not people who are accustomed to the occult, but what happens when someone's suburban grandparents decide to go big and try to do a very real occult ritual, and kind of how some of the things they do really well, and some of the things they really bungle up, and the effects in this movie are really good. Like I said, I don't want to say much about it, there are some well-placed gore moments, and those help to like really drive home like how shocking some of this is. We both also said, and some of you who, especially those who really liked Hereditary, might be like, wow. And then they'll see this and they'll be like, no. But I don't feel, for me, I haven't had horror intensity like that since I saw Hereditary. It's not like Hereditary has a different level of depth to it. There are layers and layers and layers to unpeel, I feel like, in Hereditary. This is definitely more of just sort of a smaller story, but it feels very intense when they have sort of the scare moments. I mean, there were places where, like, I was kind of almost like crawling back into the couch. Like, I got the chills any number of times. And what really blows my nips off is that I looked up the two guys who wrote and directed this. They've worked together a bunch of times before, and almost everything on their IMDb is like Hallmark Christmas movies and romantic Christmas movies, like almost exclusively. It is like there are no other horror movies. There was like one title that might have sounded like it was kind of like a fantasy something, like very slight. It was like Forest Fairies. I don't know. But like,
what if it turns out those were all the same Hallmark movie under with different titles? Well, like, we just retitled it, re-released it.
Basically, they just make the same one with just some different actors, or they just sort of mix the actors up.
Speaking of Hallmark holiday movies, real quick, shout out to Emily and Travia, who was on Kevin Geeks Out last night. She did a great job talking about The Dogs of Christmas.
Oh, speaking of The Dogs of Christmas, if you want to hear me discuss a terrible Christmas romance movie that's on Prime, you can listen to me on The Feminine Critique talking about Christmas Angel with Emily. Had a dog in it. Was terrible.
We are going to listen to that, by the way. We're just talking
Bruce
about
Davison is in
Bruce
it.
Bruce Davison.
Love Bruce Ooh. Davison.
It has people.
Mm-hmm. It has Bruce Davison.
But so it really, because I thought these had to be people who have, because it's so well directed and well written. The dialogue is awesome. You're really in this situation, and it just keeps surprising you a little bit. And like I said, the effects, there is this one effect in here where, and Freddie and I both watched Color Out of Space.
Yeah.
And you probably won't exactly get what I, you know, I'd have to tell you explicitly which scene I'm talking about, but there's a scene in Color Out of Space, which is a very disturbing movie in its own way. It's really good, but there's a scene in that movie towards the end of another really good scene where I felt like their budget showed, where they did an effect where I was like, A for effort, but you didn't pull that effect off as well. Like, you know what I mean? I kind of had to get past their effect not working. This movie does something similar in a really, really great way where I was kind of blown away. Now, Andy, I don't know. I don't know if you are or aren't going to like this.
I love cults.
Well, you love cults and you like ghosts.
Yeah.
And again, I'm trying not to give away too much, so I don't want to say much more than that. But this movie has both. But I also know, like particularly in the Conjuring universe, and this doesn't look anything like that, by the way, but you don't always like ghost effects or like weird ghost things.
Well, I don't like it, like the ghost effects where it's like that black, creepy, crawly stuff that goes against the walls and stuff like that. Yeah,
that's kind of played out.
This isn't that at all. The shit that happens here, and there's two or three scenes that use this, and every single time it happens, I'm just like, and they just ratchet and ratchet and ratchet the tension up. But then also you get like these very, cause they feel like real people. All of the people in this movie feel very real. And it's one of those movies where you have tension for both sort of the culprits getting caught, you know, like there are these moments where you're like, oh shit, I hope they don't get caught, even though they're doing something horrible. And then you're also, there's tension from the horrible thing that they're doing. So it is just, this is unless something comes along in the next week or so, unless somehow I get another Russian Roulette movie before wrap up, this is absolutely going to be my number one. This is probably the best Russian Roulette movie I've watched.
Wow.
Period. That I can remember. It gave me a nightmare, listeners. I had this nightmare, and it doesn't really have much to do with the movie, but that is where it came from. And I'm going to tell you, Elise had to wake me up because I was screaming, help me, help. Or I said, I just kept screaming, help. And in the poor dream, Kelly. I'm going to tell you about it. I dreamt that we were in bed at my old house. And it started off sad because I was thinking about our dog that passed away. And so in the dream, I was kind of crying.
Little Jessie baby.
But, and so she kind of woke up in the dream to comfort me. But as I've kind of got my face like buried in her shoulder, I see movement. And we're the only ones in the room. I see like movement in the room, like there's another someone or something in the room walking around, and I start freaking out because obviously no one should be in the room. And then
this is your dream, right?
And this is my dream. This didn't really happen. Yeah. And in the dream, Elise looks up and can see whatever it is, and she starts screaming. So I start screaming because I know there is a ghost or a demon or something that is actually in the room with us. And I just start freaking out and screaming, help, help, help. And it starts getting closer. Like I can just see it out of the corner of my eye. Like she's kind of blocking my view. So it's just like something with like a white or blue, like gown or some kind of dress or clothes. And it moves closer and closer and closer to the bed. And as it gets closer, I just am screaming harder, help, help, help. And then it touches me. And that's when I wake up, and the touching was Elise shaking me awake. It was very intense.
Well, it's like, it sounds like a very realistic dream, which makes it even scarier because it's not like a monster is chasing you or anything like that. It's somebody you know in a room.
Yes, for a dream, definitely so realistic.
It's a very weirdly grounded dream, which makes it scary.
Yes, it was. It was very scary. So this is a huge recommend, especially if you're someone who doesn't really like supernatural movies, and I'll give you a little bit. This movie, has some very good shout outs to, Rosemary's Baby and The Sentinel. There are a number of movies that this kind of nods to without ripping it off. And again, some of the occult stuff you're going to think is hokey, but it's like played that way deliberately. It's just a really great movie, and I highly recommend it. Especially if you like occult and supernatural movies, this was a great one. I really hope these two do something in horror other than this, or, you know, and move away from Hallmark movies. I mean, keep making those to get your dream movies made, if that's what this was. It felt so sure-footed and well done that it really did kind of blow my mind that this was the first thing of this kind that they seem to have done.
That's crazy. What if
your reviews got me excited?
Yeah, me too.
What if really good. The Hallmark movies are their dream movies, and this was just to pay the
bills? It's the paycheck.
They've made a shit ton of them, so it is. They must like something about it.
Who knows?
They must like getting paid.
Are you curious to check out their Hallmark movies now?
No.
Considering the quality of this one?
No. They're all prequel to this. That's if you're a true fan, you'll go back.
I should check and see though if any of this cast was in any of those Christmas movies.
It's about how these grandparents met.
Yeah.
They're meet cute. Uh-huh.
They were really great. Every actor in this movie really delivered. Kudos to the entire cast, crew, the look of it. Everything was great.
I miss Kudos.
Right.
Oh, those were good. Candy bars disguised as health food.
Yeah.
Oh, Kelly, if you really like this movie, which I haven't seen yet, but I've seen enough clips from it and everything. Servant on Apple TV, the M. Night Shyamalan series is really good.
Oh, all right.
It's a similar kind of vibe.
Well, I may check that out when I get a device that has Apple TV on it.
Oh.
Yeah, Freddie, not everybody.
You have a phone.
It's deep in the Apple cult.
Oh, I don't do that.
Yeah, you don't want to watch it on your little phone.
Yeah, Quibi's down, so he doesn't want to watch it on his phone.
Yeah.
All right, so I got this.
Suck on them Quibis. She got fat ass Quibis.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to get this Jack in the Box out.
Yeah.
And we're going to pass it around, not unlike a hot potato. We should have done a hot potato.
We should have done a hot potato.
We can do a hot potato in future.
Okay.
At university, if I'm not in hospital.
When you're not on holiday either.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to pass this around. Andy, you're going to crank it first.
I'll pretend it's a potato.
Okay.
Crank the potato. He's just in there cranking the potato, if you know what I mean.
Excuse me.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. I'm up next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. Get that potato. Careful, it's hot.
The hottest.
Oh, damn. I am Dracula.
No, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the movie for the next show that I will be watching is called The Mortuary Collection.
Which I also do would like to watch.
Yeah, this you is a recommend like? From our listener Hayden, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
In the phantasmagorical town of Raven's End, nothing is as it seems. A misguided young girl takes refuge in a decrepit old mortuary.
My favorite kind of young girl.
Woo!
Misguided.
There she meets Montgomery Dark, an eccentric undertaker with more than a few skeletons in his closet.
Sounds like a LARPer's name.
Montgomery.
A professional LARPer.
The strange history of the town through a series of twisted tales, each more terrifying than the last, but the young girl's world is unhinged when she discovered that the final story is her own.
Oh, no.
What was his name again?
Play along with you, though.
Yeah.
Montgomery Dark.
Montgomery Dark. It's from the Montgomery Darks. Ward Dark collection.
Oh, Mucky Ward. It's on Shudder.
I hope he has a brother named Mark.
Well, that reminds me of the character that Kelly plays on Portals.
Yeah.
To possibility.
Yeah. Kelly hasn't spoken up.
Well, Kelly's not there right now.
Oh, okay.
But Portals to Possibility is on all the podcast places. If you want to hear mostly improvised, silly, fun show about cryptids where he plays a character called Clark Dark.
Clark Dark. And Amy's on the first like seven or eight episodes as his sidekick.
And then it also stars Elise and our friend Allison.
Yep.
And Montgomery Dark reminded me of Clark Dark.
And a whole bunch of Cincinnati actors. Who,
Clark Bars?
Clark Bar with dark chocolate. That'd be so good.
I'm more of a Zagnut girl.
Oh, my God. If there was a place. You know what? There is a place that delivers Butterfingers.
Okay.
It's that that new subscription Butterfinger service. I think it's called Blue Butterfinger, Blue Finger, Blue Brown Finger, Brown Finger. It's Brown Finger. That's what it's called. And they send you you sign up and every month.
I heard that company stinks.
Well, you've heard correctly because you pay like $20 and every month you get a Butterfinger in the mail.
Okay, because it's a Brown Finger.
Yeah. Okay, this is great. We'll move on, take a break, and get to the main.
Do they make Zagnuts anymore?
They do, but you have to, it's not just in, a CVS or a gas station. You have to go to, a special order. Store. Yeah.
They're artisanal.
Yeah.
I love them.
I want a Zagnut so bad right now.
I'm really hungry.
Yeah, me too.
A star fell. It was almost
like seeing something out of a dream. Nothing more or less
than a breathtaking view.
At last, hello, you've opened your eyes. But why won't you even look
at me? Let's hit the cafe later.
What's wrong with
thanks,
you?
But I gotta go to work. You and
I can't stand this place anymore. It's too small and close-knit. Please make me a Tokyo boy when I fly!
Where am I?
I've been having some strange dreams lately. Like a dream about someone else's life.
Who is this?
Could this mean?
In our dreams, that girl and I, we're switching places.
But can you dance until this day? Been looking everywhere for you.
There's one thing I'm certain of. If we see each other, we'll definitely know right away.
I wanted to tell you that wherever you are in the world, I swear that I'll find you again, no matter what.
Who are you? Can I ask you your name?
this week's main attraction is Your Name, period. The most successful box office of any Japanese animation ever.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
So funny. You would have thought one of those Studio Ghibli movies would have been.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I had never heard of this movie until I deliberately went out looking for body swap movies, and everybody was in agreement. A majority of people said this was the best body swap movie.
Yeah. And what's funny, I had just heard about this movie. The boys both watched it before, and I feel like I saw someone else mention it on social media very recently. I had no idea it was a body swap movie at all until it got brought up for the show.
And it's so great. I'm sorry, Kelly.
I was going to say, I would never have watched it otherwise.
Yeah. And
I'm glad I did.
It's probably one of those movies. Yeah. I would not have seen if we weren't doing this theme, which I'm really glad, because this is just an amazing, well, one, the animation is the best I've ever seen.
It's gorgeous. It is gorgeous animation.
And then also the storytelling, the way they drop you into it, it has a lot of respect for the viewer. It lets you kind of get places on your own.
Yeah. The body swap happens almost immediately.
Yeah.
And which is like, there's no build up to it. And like you've already said, like it respects the viewer. Like we've seen body swap movie. We know what's going on. We don't need to.
And exactly. And you're in the middle of it. Actually, you're not even at the beginning of the body swap. They've already been swapping bodies for a while.
Yeah.
When the movie opens.
What's nice too, is the time travel stuff, or like, you know, where flashbacks happen. They don't do a thing where it's like, 6 weeks ago, like you kind of have to figure out, oh, this already happened or this is happening now. Like they don't, like you said, they don't really hold your hand in terms of that, but it's still told very clearly. It's not
travel stuff was pretty clear. They didn't have like them running into doubles themselves or butterfly effect type things. It was pretty straightforward.
Yeah. But I had moments, Andy, where I was really confused.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He went away after a minute.
I get it. Just because it's time travel, and I feel time travel is just confusing.
Yeah.
But this is probably the most straightforward time travel thing that I've seen.
I guessed what was happening right before it got revealed specifically.
Yeah, I was going to say, spoiler, in case you're a first-time listener, which I'm sure you probably are not, but if you are, we spoil these main attractions. We get all into the little nitty-gritty. So just a warning. Yes. But yeah, I didn't even know there was going to be time travel. It's one of those things that the movie doesn't set up. It's a great surprise when it happens.
It is. And when I realized it, like I said, it was right kind of before they announced it. But when I realized it, it really hit me. I cried my eyes out watching this movie.
I did
just
too.
To let you know.
Freddie ended the movie and he couldn't even talk.
Oh. Yeah, I had to compose myself before joining
the blubbering.
Yeah,
I wasn't blubbering, but I did tear up.
I was so choked up. I was just so choked up, I couldn't speak. Yeah, like, it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Same.
Dude. Amy, what about you? Do you have a heart?
No. I hated this movie. No, of course I didn't cry, but I could see why you would. It didn't surprise me that anybody would be crying, but I will say I don't have any real experience with anime. So like I've seen Akira.
Yeah.
I've seen Akira.
Canada.
Is that the only Japanese animation you've ever
seen? Tetsuo.
Maybe.
Yeah. Like Howl's Moving Castle is a really good one. I think you'd like.
And like in terms of anime, I mean, this movie, I mean, it definitely has some hallmarks of anime, but it really, it's just a movie told in that medium. I wouldn't say that this is a super anime.
Well,
stylistic anime, you know.
Yeah, I was just saying that in case there are listeners out there that are very well versed in anime and that there's like a whole host of things we don't discuss or talk about or reference. I just don't have that, just so you know where I'm coming from when I watch this, that I don't have that background. But I thought it was fantastic.
It's very accessible in terms of anime.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's not like a bunch of, I mean, it really is just a movie. That is, it's just a Japanese movie that's animated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know I mean,
she's a girl who's a friend, mom. She's not my girlfriend.
Oh, you're okay.
Yeah, it's a stupid joke.
So we have.
Well, I was like, what's a friend mom?
She's a mom friend.
Words have lost all meaning.
So, you know, you got this movie and it stars. We watched the dub version. I'm assuming you guys all
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I spend all my life staring at screens, reading words, and my eyes hurt.
I can't appreciate. I prefer dubbed usually just so I can soak up as much of the animation as I can.
Right. And I don't know if that's loaded in some way, like white people love dubbed. I don't know. I'm just
normally I do watch the one with subs if I do watch, well, especially anime. But I did watch the dub version this time just for time purposes.
Yeah.
So I get, but I mean, I think it's just up to the viewer, like how they get more out of it.
Yeah.
I prefer the dubs because sometimes the translations are kind of literal. So like there's a lot lost in translation when they have the subtitles on.
Yeah.
Plus when I was going to say when they have a cast this good.
Yeah.
I think it helps, you know, cause they're such strong actors. I think there's a chasm of like quality difference depending on who they cast for the voiceover.
I think this too is different than watching again, like a regular anime series or, you know, a less I feel like if you're watching an anime series, watch it subbed. But I think sometimes the acting, the dubbing isn't always in smaller projects. I don't know that it always comes across as well as the subs, but I feel like you just said, the cast was so strong, in this that the dub was fine. I mean, it didn't feel wonky at all. Sometimes it does feel wonky watching a dubbed anime, but this didn't.
So we have Mitsuha. Okay. And Taki. And they're swapping bodies.
Delicious name.
We were talking about Takis a lot
I love Takis.
They're okay. So good.
And they're swapping bodies. Mitsuha lives in a small town.
Born and raised in a small town.
Taki's
she's the country mouse.
Yeah. She's the country mouse. He's the city mouse. He lives in Tokyo.
Making fermented rice wine with my own spit.
And they're swapping bodies. Like, it feels like every other day or something like that, right?
It's fairly often.
Yeah. Like, it's not every day, but they'll wake up. He'll wake up in her body.
Yeah.
Feel the boobies. Which, you know, whatever.
Hey, that'd be what I would do.
Yeah, that's what everyone would do.
If I woke up in a man's body, for sure-sies, I'm taking a look. Taking a feel.
Well, it's your body now.
Yeah.
I like when they create the rules. Like, because this movie reminded me a lot of, like, who's the filmmaker who made Amelie? It had, like, kind of that same kind of personality.
Baguette McFrenchman.
It was a real sweet, like, the way they deal with, like, memory, short-term memory loss and everything with the two characters. But when they are able to connect and realize that they're doing this, they set up these rules about respecting each other when they're in the other one's body.
It's also very, I feel like they really capture the idea of dreams and kind of losing dreams as you get a little bit more distant from it, like trying to remember what it was about that dream that made you feel this way. And you're just left with the feeling and you don't know why, because you can't, and you're trying. Like that really resonated with me, especially towards the end, as they tell each other they're going to remember, and then watching the memory slip from them of what the other person's name is, so they can find each other. It really felt like a dream. Like, I was like, that's exactly the feeling. Like, I completely relate to that. And I felt like they really did a good job making you feel like, oh, when they are sharing or they're in this dream state, you know, everything makes sense. And then when they separate, it's just like, it just slips away. And it's just this sort of sense of deja vu. It really nailed that.
Yeah. And there's kind of like that belief, like an element of like, you're like, this can't really be happening. So you start to say it has to be a dream. And once I categorize it as a dream, the process that my brain takes to say, I don't need this information anymore, it's not reality, is a really believable, like, from a scientific standpoint, you're like, that makes sense that you would do that as like a self-preservation. And it feels like the theme of the movie when they get later in and they realize, you know, that they are 3 years apart and that her village is going to be destroyed by a comet. There's a lot of who believes her, or that at least she's interested in doing the right thing when she's really, talky.
Right.
And like, you know, like there's a lot of like, when they try to convince the mayor that they need to evacuate her father.
Well, yes.
And it's like,
there is,
you have to give yourself over to like magical thinking.
Give yourself.
Well, another thing I loved about this body swap is like, they just accept it. They don't try to figure out why they're body swapping.
Yeah, they don't.
Oh, I feel like she did a little bit.
I did, but she accepted it eventually. I mean, she was like, everybody's confused at first, but they accepted it because they were just so nice to each other and respectful of each other that they weren't trying to figure out like, oh my God, I need to get this man out, this boy out of my body.
Yeah.
Well, like other movies do, they need to figure out, you know, trying to get back to themselves. They don't necessarily mind being each other's bodies.
Right. Well, and that's what I feel. I feel like this movie did really well. First of all, it didn't waste time on shit like that. That wasn't what this was about. So they didn't waste time on the whole, like, convincing people. I mean, there was a little bit of that it does need to be sort of grounded, I guess, but there wasn't a lot of that. And I think part of that is because they have this connection that they felt comfortable with inside of each other. Like it was almost like they're meant to be together, and they have an emotional connection. It's almost like these two are meant to be together. And so while they feel off and they don't know what each other's world is when this is happening and they don't remember, it's like there's something natural about being in each other's bodies for them, that they enjoy it and they enjoy the perspective. Just a really beautiful movie about like love and loss.
Well, I love how even though they were kind of like meant for each other and fated to be each other, you see the relationship develop.
Yeah.
And they love each other not because they're fated to be together. They love each other because they get to know each other.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right.
And they,
by being in each other's bodies and like learning about like what's happening, it's really beautiful.
And this body swapping also changes who they are when they're in their own bodies, and so much that other characters remark on it, changes them for the better.
Yeah. Right. It's not just when she's in his body that, yes, of course she has a feminine side then, but he starts to deliberately realize that's the better part of his nature if he lets it happen, type of thing.
And there's a...
And I love how the other characters notice that too.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments is like when she's in his body and his friends remark like, oh, he's kind of cute today.
Yeah.
And it's just so nice to see affection between like male characters that's not like, oh my God.
Yes.
You're being gay.
Friend relationships are all really nice too. Yeah. In general,
I love the grandma and the little girl,
the sister.
Oh yeah,
the sister.
Mitsua's sister.
So
grandma.
Cute. Their interactions are so great.
When what you realize, what happens is, so they're body swapping. You've already got that. That's established, and then it stops just as they're starting to kind of think they could find each other. And what you realize is that because this coincides with this comet, and this whole time you're thinking that they're both in the same time. And then Taki's like, I stopped waking up as Mizuha, or how do you say her name? I can't remember.
Mitsuha.
I think you said it right.
And it's because for her, it was 3 years in the past. And when this comet happens, because she keeps telling him like, you're going to be able to see the comet. And so he's looking for it. He doesn't see it. He's trying to call because they use each other's phones, but it's not available. And the reason is because she is connecting with him 3 years from the past in the future. And then the comet, a part of it breaks off
and destroys her village. He froze again. Oh my God. Did anybody else think he's going to come raring back in at some point? Yeah. I'm just going to keep talking. It was when he tried calling her.
Yeah.
All of her family is dead. Her little sister is dead.
Kelly, you froze up again. So you were, I'm trying to remember the last thing you said before you froze, but you came back in on all of her family is dead.
Well, that's basically all. I was just talking about how you realize that it's 3 years in the past and that the meteor crashes as it breaks off of the comet and has destroyed her town.
Yeah,
And they're not in the same time.
This revelation broke me.
Yeah, it's too. Really heartbreaking.
Well,
it's so surprising too.
When he tries calling her, I was like, "Oh my gosh, why have they never done that before?"
Yeah,
and why isn't he able to get through? And then you get to that point where you're like, "Holy shit, they're not in the same time." And then you're like, "Whoa, is it like that one movie?"
The Lake House
with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, The Lake House. That's what Kelly just said.
Yeah, and you're like, whoa, but then it's
whoa.
Okay.
Whoa,
whoa.
You know,
that's John Mulaney.
And then he sets out to save her.
It's so appropriate that this is the week where we posted the origins out of sequence to help illustrate this point.
It's fate. You can change your fate.
You can change your fate. Yeah, and it what did you just say, Amy?
Something terribly brilliant.
What did you actually say?
That I don't remember.
You said you
memory loss for all of us.
You were just saying like how the call, he was going to save her call, and then
he decides he wants to save her. So he goes he's going to go to the town because he's like, I want to meet her. But that's when he finds out that the town's been destroyed. So he's in this like busted out crater of the town, and he's like, you know. Then they start swapping again. Why did they start swapping again?
He found her shrine.
Oh, he drank her spit sake.
Yeah, remember? And she was so mortified.
I would be too.
I like sake. I didn't know they were spitting it, though.
I don't think it's every
kind. Is this real? Because like, I want to be respectful of other cultures, but if you offered me this, I'd be like, no, ma'am.
No, you don't want the spit?
I just have water.
I guess it depends.
I'm like, yeah, I got water.
it is real. Mouth-chewed sake.
What was... one of the things I loved about both the animation, it just, they did a really great job showing like tacky draws. And I don't know that I've seen a lot of really well represented drawing in any animated movie, and they really, yes.
Oh, I meant keep going. I'll be back. Is what I meant.
They show tacky drawing, these beautiful sort of architectural and landscape drawings. And it's sort of part of, he's drawing the town that she's
he doesn't
from.
Even like necessarily know why he's drawing them.
Exactly.
But he has these memories from her. So we got this connect. He slowly discovers why he knows these buildings and stuff.
Right.
Yes. And so once they kind of put that back together, then it becomes, you have time to save your town. You have to convince everyone. And what I also liked is it's not like this huge thing where they have to convince everyone to get all the way out of town. They just have to get the people into the high school.
Yeah, they just there's like a blast radius. So if we get everybody outside of this into the school, we're good.
And so this movie then becomes, it's so many things because it goes from being just this sort of teenagery body swap romance to this disaster kind of movie where they're trying to get everyone, including themselves, to safety. And you're not, and I tell you what this movie did, I didn't know if the plan was going to work or not.
Well,
I could totally see it ending sad.
I was on the edge of my seat. It was so tense of her trying to save the city because you want them so badly to get to be together.
Right.
Yeah.
That there's like this wanting of the yearning.
Yes, the yearning in this movie, this yearning.
Do you think
a funny word? The yearning was so palpable, like you really got it.
Do you think via our adamant yearning created the ending of this movie. That it really is sad.
I was yearning for this chicken sandwich.
It's an original chicken sandwich. You're going to piss Callie off.
I know. That's why I don't want to show him.
I don't care anymore. I don't eat them, so it doesn't matter. The ending actually also, it managed to be very satisfying without being like, oh, everything's like great now. Like it gives you what you want and then stops.
Well, it's because we know it's going to be okay. It's not spoon fed to us that they're going to run into each other's arms and be happily ever after.
No, it was a perfect ending. Really, really love this movie. I can't say enough good things about it.
So,
and I really did. Again, I thought the boys were real.
Your children, boys?
Yes, my boys, my sons, Colin and Cole, ages 20 and 15. 15. This was a big recommend from both of them. But they also love anime. They watch a lot of it. And so I have mixed feelings about anime. I do like a lot of old anime movies and a couple series, but I don't know that you'd call me a huge fan of the genre.
You're not an animaniac?
I'm the same way. I don't think any of us are big anime people, right? No. I mean, I think all of us were familiar with like the big ones, and that's about it.
Yeah, I love the Miyazaki stuff, but beyond that, I'm not very well versed in other things.
And I do. I mean, I've got some deep cuts that are old. Like I said, there's some old stuff like the Lupin movies, which they just made another one. I think Lupin the Third.
Record of the Lotus War is a good one too.
3x3 Eyes is good. I did enjoy some of Attack on Titan, which is not that old, but yeah, mostly it's just not my thing. Especially some of the newer series where it's just like teen life. Like that's a whole big genre right now.
Kicking it teen style.
Again, this movie sort of transcends any kind of like trappings that are specific to anime. I feel like, I mean, there are a few, but it's just a really great movie, and it would have been great, I think, told in any medium, but I think having the beauty of the art upped it.
You bring up the beauty, like that scene where the comet is flying over the skyline.
It breaks your heart a little bit every time, especially when you know what's going to happen. Yeah,
it's like the juxtaposition of how beautiful it is over like knowing what's going to happen to that town.
Exactly.
Because like it's so beautiful, but you know that 500 people are potentially going
to
die.
Yeah. To go back to the spit fermentation sake, that is real. It was an old practice, and it was virgins. Virgins would chew up their eyes.
Oh, okay. Virgins. Well, if it's virgins, then I'm really into it, then.
Yeah.
Then apparently it's an old practice.
Works for my skincare regimen.
Oh my god, I'm going to murder my dogs. It was an old practice in China and Mexico and other places where different types of things like agave was chewed up, fermented. Same with millet wine in China. I'm going to go. I'll be right back. I have to take my dogs out.
Shh.
Out.
This
just
is a
out.
Show of breaks. She's gonna take I took a out. Break. Freddie took a break. Yeah. Amy's going to take a break.
Andy, do you it.
Take a break?
Yeah, I'm going to get a Kit Kat. Good.
You're going to get a Kit Kat.
He's going to run into the store and get a Kit Kat.
Yeah, because it's a break.
Get you know, I got it. But Freddie, what are your thoughts?
I fell in love with this movie too. Like I said, I had a really emotional reaction to it. I want to see the making of, which, you know, I was frustrated that the way this movie is sold is really kind of frustrating because they sell it either dubbed or subtitled. Mm-hmm. So if you want both, you have to buy them separately. And there's no extras on the one I got. So I'm like, I'm dying to know, like, there was like a moment that blew my mind as somebody who tries to draw. And I see the office chair in the opening shot of him laying in bed and you see him through the office chair.
Yeah, they really nail it. It looks very real.
Yeah, and there's so many uncanny valley moments with this.
That near the end, like snowing in Tokyo.
Yep.
I was like, oh my God, I want to go to Tokyo so bad.
Yeah.
Even though it's an animated movie, you get wanderlust.
Yeah.
Just looking at this city.
It was beautiful. And there was, there's another sort of way to what you were talking about, Freddy, moment where it didn't look like animation to me was when they show the spider web, like as tacky, I think, as Mitsuha is riding through, or maybe it's when it's raining, maybe it's when he's himself and he's walking up the mountain. I don't remember now, but they show this spider web.
I know what you're talking
about. Striking it. And it looks so real. And usually in 2D animation, you don't get those moments. The only other time I've really ever had sort of a, that looks like a real thing. There's a moment in The Secret of Nim. It's just real brief where the mouse jumps out of like a bird cage that they've trapped her in and the bird cage shakes and it looks real for a second. That's the only other time I've really had that in a 2D animated movie where I was like, shit, that looks like it's not drawn.
Yeah, do you feel like I don't want to know like whether or not it feels like it had to be computer assisted, like when they do like the panoramic around the village and everything.
All of that is. I mean, I don't know that anyone is doing complete. I don't think anyone is doing only hand cell animation anymore. So, I would be surprised, and definitely a lot of this was computer. Like you said, they can't do. I mean, you could do those. Those 3D rotations.
Well, yeah. Every time I think something's impossible, somebody does it, and I'm like, "What?"
But it's not. I mean, like I say, it's a combination, and I mean, the two are sort of intertwined now. Like everyone, there's certain programs I think that everyone uses, and so they treat it as both hand drawn, and then the things that you can't do with hand drawn, you know, they put their cells in these programs, and then. When there are things that they need the computer to do.
It reminded me, like, looking at some of these scenes where, like, the panoramic stuff, it reminded me a lot of, like, Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
Yeah.
That type of animation. Yeah.
Yeah, this is this is the most beautiful animation.
Yeah, and not just the animation. Like, the music goes so well with everything.
Agreed. The soundtrack really ups the emotional heft.
Yeah, it's funny because when it started, Amy and I were kind of rolling our eyes and giggling at the music versus what was on screen and everything.
Elise too, actually. She was doing some work while I was watching this, but she heard
it. It's like the English language stuff is like Japanese emo.
Yeah. So
which not necessarily my bag, but it just fits so well.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
It pulls you in.
It yes. won me over after the end of the movie, I was downloading the soundtrack because I'm like, it reminded me of REO Speedwagon, which is one of those bands that you either laugh at or you're really emotionally invested in the song.
I think his voice is so distinctive. It sounds like some like 60s British obscure singer.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. And the songs for me, like you said, they did eventually win me over. I wasn't always a fan of sort of that, like until a bit later, but now the actual score I was with 100% of the way the whole time, like the sort of tinkling piano and synths that come in. I felt like that always helped create the mood, and sort of guide your emotions to wherever they were going to go.
Is it hard to talk about something so emotional while Freddy's fucking eating a double Whopper?
Nah. He's eating a double Whopper, but his backdrop is the Northern Lights. Mm-hmm. So
it's real fucking weird.
It's very dramatic.
His emotions, Amy.
He looks so peaceful eating this big old burger.
He's eating his feelings, and it's a double Whopper. So you know that's a lot of feelings.
That's how much emotion this movie manifested as a double Whopper.
Well, you bring up the emotion of this movie. Like, you cry because it's so beautiful. You cry because it's sad. And you get this swelling feeling in you.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, just the sense of impending loss. Like, it's just like, at least for me, it was the idea that there is a chance that this is going to be the only way. Like, the idea that, especially when he's like, it stopped. And like, that for me was so, it was like, well, what if this just never happens again? Which is what he kind of, I think he even said something like that. Or he's like, it didn't happen again.
Yeah, it stopped right at the point where they realized that they love each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So and you're wondering, like, is this ever going to happen for them? Even though they're kind of fated to be each other, you want them to get together in this lifetime as opposed to whenever in the future.
Right, you want it to happen. And that was actually one of the things that had gotten me so emotional, and it was one of the places where the songs won me over, was there was a song about right at the end. It was like over the end credits, I think, about just give us a little more time together. That really like punched me in the face.
When the meteor hits, that moment, and I thought, I didn't think we were going to get a happy ending either.
I wasn't sure for sure. Because definitely wasn't.
Have you seen Grave of the Fireflies?
No.
Okay, that's probably why I didn't think we were getting a happy ending, because that movie is so sad.
Mm-hmm. Honestly,
and I just thought from a cultural standpoint, I was like, I could see this ending that way.
Yes.
Can I just interrupt real quick?
Yes, please.
I was about to say I've avoided that movie like the plague.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I am living in plague times, and I have done things to avoid the plague.
You've avoided the plague.
I can use that phrase.
Yeah.
I'm avoiding a plague, so I can use the phrase, I would avoid that like a plague, because then I have examples for how I have avoided a plague.
You didn't appropriate that from medieval peoples.
No.
You now own that phrase.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm like you. I didn't, although I knew if it ended sad, I figured it would be to show that there is value in passing things and appreciating something in the time that it happens.
It's
and
like, yeah, it's like that thing, like, smile because not it because happened. It's gone, because it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even her grand, there's a line where her grandmother says, cherish dreams because they fade. Yeah.
Was
and
there,
that's kind of what made me think about like, that's how this is going to end. They're not going to give us them coming together. We're going to have to learn to appreciate the time they had.
Was the
and
movie,
thankfully it didn't end that way, but right. That would have been a great ending too.
Was the movie sort of hinting that this had happened to other members of her family? Because the grandmother said, you know, I remember having dreams when I was young and I don't really remember them anymore. And I don't remember who it was.
No, I think that's, I think it was explicitly that.
I just remember that.
It just wasn't the same level because they were not waiting on an impending disaster.
Like there was this line that made me think that this was all leading up to this. God damn it, Millie. This dog, these two fucking dogs, I love more than goddamn life itself, but I would knock their heads together right now.
Millie, her head came poking out, all these cables and wires and stuff were around it, and her head just poked out between them. It was really cute.
Oh, like a Beethoven movie.
It's like a Beethoven.
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 That dream fading line has like, it reads two ways too. Because when I thought of it, when I first heard it in the movie, I thought she meant like aspirations.
Right.
But like you were saying, like literally dreams, as you are longer awake, dreams literally, your dreams fade away.
Yeah.
Unless Spider-Man is mowing down children with a lawnmower and you'll remember that till the day you're dead.
I thought it was Superman.
Oh, what did I say?
Spider-Man.
Sorry.
Was it Superman?
Oh, you.
It was
you
Superman.
You would have lost the obstacle course from last week's Topicana.
This isn't canon.
You would not have got the J. Jonah Jameson or Perry White right.
God damn it.
It would have been Perry White. You would have said J. Jonah, and Ernie Hudson would not have, or Leslie Jones would not have allowed you to continue.
Correct.
That's Topicana patrons, which you have access to if you're curious about what I'm referencing.
Yeah. Anyway, where were we? I'm sorry.
How good this movie was.
It's great. Go watch it.
And how sad it is that dreams fade away. Yeah. Especially if they're real, really dreams where you're just connected to your soulmate through an ethereal pipeline.
Well, it is kind of just the idea of this movie itself is a little bit like, as we try to kind of go back and think about how it affected us, it's a little hard to like put into words. It's sort of like,
Yeah,
it made me feel this way, and I'm trying to put together why. And it's a little bit like a dream itself. Oh my god!
This is like I've never been in love, and probably never will be.
Oh
but
my god, Andy!
Just watching this movie, this is probably the closest I got to understanding what it feels like to be in love.
Yeah, well, it definitely was.
It just pulled a lot of strong feelings out of me.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Like, I get it, you know.
It's total, I think it's having another person totally understand you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what they get by, you know, literally living each other's lives.
And then realizing that possibly you're not going to be able to continue to have that. Like, it's... It really great movie.
Makes you, I mean, not to be too dark, but like I'm, you know, we are living through a pandemic and I have a husband with, you know,
diabetes. He's
just a broken body.
I got Burger King's original sandwich disease.
You say this as he ate a original chicken sandwich and a,
I know.
And a Whopper. I was really hungry.
I wasn't in charge.
That was my lunch.
Okay. I'm starving.
You lay off. I'm starving. Charge, Jamie.
Okay. But what I was trying to say was, like, I'm trying to keep him alive right now because at the end, I'm going to murder these dogs. So much murder. It's metaphorical murder. I love them and it would never hurt them one iota.
Metaphorical murder would be a great band name.
Oh, I love or having them name. Around. It's great. But I was trying to say that I do truly feel like I met my soulmate when I was very young. Freddie is who I'm talking about. And just in case you were wondering, and if I were to lose him, I would be terribly bereft. So watching this movie brings back all those feelings that I've been having this whole year of trying to keep him alive.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all. Yeah. And yet I didn't cry. What kind of monster am I?
Well, you barely
a Dracula
ever,
or a werewolf, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. No animal died in this movie, so you're fine.
That's where I usually. Yeah, that's where it happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, when I thought
you're muted.
Sorry, when I thought the old lady and the little girl had died, and when that comet hit,
well, they did.
You know,
no, they didn't.
No, nope.
Well, they did.
Well, they did. In one universe. They did.
In one universe, they did. That's another. Yeah. This movie shows. I mean, it gives you all of it. That's what's great about time travel is they did that. The motion from that was real because they were dead. They were gone. And then they were able to go back and change that. But yes, I agree with you. Thinking that that poor little girl was gone for good was very sad.
You squeezing your boobies again.
That was
everyone
really
is impatient. I will say, and this is a trope for man, everyone is always impatient with everyone. Yeah. Wake up. Get up.
Well, it's Japan. It's like a go, go, go.
You have places to be.
It's like, I'm walking here.
They're a very efficient society.
It's a lot of impatience.
Forget about
crazy impatient. Like, nobody's getting hit in the face and like you're going to do this now. But it is very like, get up.
All right. Your
it's
name.
Like your family is at Christmas and they make breakfast, but you're still asleep.
Yeah.
And somebody comes in and is like, you got to get up. There's pancakes. You're going to not have any. And it's like, I don't need them.
Oh, and then you always have like somebody didn't get up in time and somebody ate all the pancakes.
Yeah. But I always know, like, well, I chose to sleep.
Yeah, I made this choice.
I got pancakes anytime.
Yeah.
Made my own pancakes.
God damn it.
Pancakes in the morning, pancakes in the evening.
Pancakes at supper time?
Pizza pancakes?
With pizza on a pancake.
Pizza cakes.
Oh.
Is that Burger King hitting you?
I think it was the combination of
it's bringing your emotions back. You're gonna cry again for a different reason.
That and pizza pancakes, like the combination of those two thoughts, almost made me barf.
No, I got you.
It was good though. It's good barf. Anywho, now's the time on Sprockets.
Yes, Zawa.
Yeah, I got to thank our Beelzebubs. These are our producers who make they grease the wheels, if you know what I mean, of justice. Elise Combrink, Ernie Perez, Mark Watts.
Back to me.
And thanks Mark, thanks for jumping up to the new tier. Appreciate that. Amanda Galetko, Blake Heath, Bill Farner.
I want to stop you right there.
Yep.
I froze while you started reading names and I missed Elise. I just wanted to say hi, sweetie.
Aww,
that was sweet. Aww. Tree and Alex McNulty, Iona Goodwin.
Iona, great one.
Jeff L.
Jeff O.
Brannon and Emily, who we were just talking about. Yep. She was on Kevin Geeks Out. Go to YouTube.
A+ Emily.
Search Kevin Geeks Out. You'll find it. Christmas Dogs. Adam Ingram. Alyssa Bam.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
She had a birthday yesterday, right?
Right on.
Yeah. I think it was yesterday. Oh, my days blur together. Bill Chandler.
Bill and I jinxed on Quiplash, and I feel like that was like the solidifying brick of our friendship.
It was a your name.
That was the right answer. That is.
He's your soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go.
My comedy soulmate.
Blaine Turner. Monica Martinson, happy birthday to you too. Today is her birthday.
Gosh, happy birthday! Happy birthday.
And Brian, last but not least, Doc Brian. We've taken to calling him Dr. Brian.
Happy birthday, Dr. Brian. I know it's probably not your birthday, but someday it will be. And you can hold on to this till then. And then
you have it forever.
On that day, you can take it back out and then you'll have it.
Yep.
Nothing's better than taking it back out.
Yep.
Just to put it back in.
Except for leaving it in.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
I'm good. No. This is a very emotional movie week for me. One movie scared me so bad it gave me nightmares. The other movie made me cry multiple times.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, really.
It's cathartic.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Love you guys. Bye.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed. His old buddy Leatherface put on